It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome. It is Patrick Johnson on the Patrick Johnson Show here on 94.3 The Game. Great to have you with us here. We're in the midst of March Madness. The conference tournaments are going on, and we're going to talk some hoop and a little bit about the Players' Championship with Brian Mull. He'll join us here coming up in just a little bit. So looking forward to that. We've got a lot to talk about right now. Last check at the half, it was North Pitt's girls in the 2A regional leading at halftime. So they're trying to get back to the state championship. Farmville will play at 6 tonight. All of this is taking place in Winston-Salem. And we've also got South Central. Their season came to an end. They bowed out, losing to Terry Sanford, one of the traditional powers, 58-50 last night. Want to give you a reminder, and we're going to have him on later in the week. But our buddy Greg Lassiter is going to be with us either tomorrow or Friday. Greg is putting on the Eastern Carolina High School Bench Press Competition, and it's going to be a week from today. It'll be the 20th at 1 o'clock at the Greenville Convention Center, and high schoolers from all across Eastern North Carolina are invited. I think Conley's going to be there. Maybe Washington was one of the schools. North Pitt was one of the schools. Anyway, these various schools are going to be there, and even if you're there without your coach, obviously you want some supervision, but you can just give champions a call. Greg will fill you in on the details. But I think they're going to have lots of fabulous prizes for everybody. So that is coming up. All right. Big win for ECU women's basketball yesterday. Danae McNeil had a tough shooting day, but made the plays when it counted, a layup late, and then a mid-range jumper to put the Pirates ahead. They got a stop, got the basketball back. And life was good for East Carolina as they're going to the championship game in the AAC. Is the number 9 seed. Rice is the number 10 seed. And Rice beat the Pirates twice this year. How about that? So we'll see how all this plays. 7 o'clock tonight on ESPNU is when that'll be happening. We'll have some things for you here. Yeah, we got some Coach Kim comments. We've also got some Cliff Godwin comments. Coming up as well. The Pirates see UNC Wilmington come across late and get a run in the ninth, but ECU answers with number in the 10th, and then they go on for the victory. So that is what is happening. Pilk, hello to you. Intern William, I guess, is with us.
He is.
Anything
I'm here.
Gone? But, I need to know. We had... Wake is playing right now against Notre Dame in the ACC tournament. We've got the American tournament also going on. And then what else do we have, Pilkington? We have there was an ACC decision from earlier today. I don't remember who was playing in that game. It was the noon game. They're doing four games today, so it's one of those long marathon days of the conference tournament, as you got a lot of first-round games in the big conferences, the massive footprint conferences. All right, Pilk will have all those scores for you coming up. But right now, why don't we do a Pirate Report, get you set for women's basketball tonight, and also recap their win and baseball's win.
And now, Patrick Johnson with today's Pirate Report on the flagship station of the ECU Pirates, 94.3 The Game.
All right, East Carolina on the diamond last night, wins in extra innings in Wilmington, 8-7 the final there. Wilmington tied it, as I said, in the bottom of the ninth, but then ECU rallied, and they played it a run in the 10th, and they get the win at Brooks Field. So the Pirates, who won both games in 22, saw Wilmington win both games in 23, and now the Pirates have taken the first game of this season against the Seahawks, who had their three-game win streak snapped. Pirates have now won four in a row. Let's see here. Again, Carter Cunningham kind of doing Carter Cunningham things. He got things going in the 10th with a single. Starling walked. Barini was hit by a pitch, load the bases, and then a wild pitch with Clonch at the dish allowed Cunningham to score. So usually there's something unique or strange or interesting that happens with UNCW and when the Pirates are there. I saw them kind of small ball their way to a victory a few years ago down there and took advantage of some pitching miscues and that kind of thing. So it was really good station-to-station baseball. Last night, Pirates putting the pressure on the Seahawks, and they caved in the top of the 10th. Cliff Godwin not happy about the way that his team played throughout the game, but happy they got the win.
We played bad tonight, and I'm happy that we won. I just told him, I said, hey, you guys are a mature team. I told one of my buddies a few weeks ago, I said, I you know, if we're going to play bad, I'd like to at least win every once in a while. Well, hey, we did it tonight, and that's not taking anything against UNCW, but, I mean, we made three errors. We can't throw the ball to first base. We got wild pitches, and we're missing balls behind the plate, and we don't communicate, and we got JC throwing the ball to second base when the guy's coming home. I mean, we're lucky we won here. I'm happy because we don't ever play great here, I don't feel like, but it's a good win. We'll take it, and we'll get on the bus and go to Greenville. We'll be a lot more happier than losing, for sure.
And then Coach talked about the pitching in last night's game.
Richie was good. I mean, I thought Kaler was good for the first three innings. Richie was good. Schenck, of course, was good. Danny was good, except the error. And then Aaron Groller, man, I mean, hey. We didn't have anybody else, really, to be honest. We had D'Lo down there, but they had all these lefties coming up. So we're just going to let Groller either win the game or lose the game for us.
By the way, it was Florida State beating Virginia Tech earlier today. That's the game I couldn't remember. Very forgettable. But Florida State is who will go on to play UNC tomorrow. More from Coach Godwin said they won, and he was glad they won a tough game.
The Kane kid that pitched for me ain't getting up a hit all season, and I think the lefty that came in was tough too. So, but I'm just glad we won, Coach. That's all I got to say.
All right, let's hear from Justin Wilcoxon, who talks about the Pirates fighting back.
Our defense wasn't great at times. Our lineup just kept coming back and kept putting up runs, which is tough when they keep bouncing back too. So, I mean, it was a battle to the end, and we ended up being on top.
And the Pirates talked about manufacturing runs without a lot of extra base hits. Wilcoxon discussed that.
For sure. And today with the wind, the way it was blowing, I mean, we're just trying to hit balls on the ground and line drives. So really we're just trying to get on base, which I think we've struggled with for a little while. But today we were able to just keep putting guys on and keep moving runners and doing what we needed to do as an offense.
And he says this team knows how to win gritty games.
I think just from our senior leadership, I think a lot of these guys have seen what it takes, and then they've seen last year how we didn't perform well on the road, and they know what we need to fix, and they know where we need to be as a team, especially to get these tough road wins like here at UNCW. I think we just, it's a gritty kind of game, and I think we know what it takes to get there.
So the Pirates will play again this weekend against Columbia. First pitch of that game is set for 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock on Friday on 94.3. The game will have coverage beginning at 5:45. All right, ECU women's basketball, they were down 11, came back and stunned UTSA. They advanced for the second straight year to the AAC Conference Championship game. 55-54 was the final last night at the Dickies Arena. Maya Joyner led the way with the double-double. Kaya Miller came up big, 14 points, 7 rebounds in the win. Pirates get their 19th victory of the year. Got off to a really rough start, just 16 points in the first half. But, you know, they were down 11 in the fourth, and it was not looking good. And it seemed like every time ECU would get it to within a possession or two possessions, UTSA would get something going to the basket or knock down something. Danae McNeil struggled, finished with double figures, but was just 4 of 18 shooting. UTSA did a really great job on her in the game as far as, you know, just making it tough for her to shoot the basketball. They really did a sensational job. But anyway, they get the win. And this is Coach Kim, who says she can't explain how proud she is of this particular team.
Words can't express how I feel right now. And excuse me if I get emotional, because I think people, when they think of coaches, they think all we do is coach. But it's so much more than that. I love these young women like they're my own daughters. And we've been through a lot this year, a lot of adversity. People counted us out early, you know, when we went down two of our really good guards. And some people had to step up. Some freshmen had to step up and be sophomores very, very early, one being Kaya Miller here and the other one being Karina Gordon. But I can't express right now how proud I am of this team, how proud and honored I am to be the head women's basketball coach at East Carolina.
More from Coach Kim, who says that the difficulties that the team has been through this year has made them a stronger group.
You know, it's hard being a Pirate, but I tell the girls, I told them in the locker room, you know, when things come hard, it just makes you appreciate the outcome even more. And they're going to appreciate everything we've gone through this year. You know, God puts you through things for a reason. They're putting us through this to make these young women stronger.
More from Coach Kim, who says what it means to be back in the finals back-to-back years of the AAC tournament.
This is what I came here to ECU to do, you know, to put women's basketball, you know, on the map in Greenville. And I got two young women right here that were top 100 recruits in the country that could have chosen to go somewhere else, but they chose to come to ECU, and this is what they came here for, to playing in big games like this, to play for championships. It's exciting. It's an exciting time. I'm so happy. This probably, I don't know if last year felt better or this year, you know, with all the adversity we went through this year with all the injuries and stuff and just different things we've gone through. But it feels really, really good.
On what the message was to the team down the stretch, Coach Kim.
You know, kept telling the young ladies to believe, you know, to keep defending. Our shots weren't falling like it had been the last couple of games. But, you know, we are a firm believer that if you defend and rebound and share the ball, you got a chance to win in tournament play. And everybody knows our identity is defense. That is our identity. That's how we win games. When we play good defense, we got a great opportunity to win.
All right, and they'll have to play defense tonight. It was Rice beating Temple 60-57 last night to advance. So the Pirates and Rice, the 9th and 10th place teams in the American, and that's what's the great thing about this time of year, and that is, you know, you go out and can you get hot at the right time and play your way into the postseason? Pirates are trying to do that for a second straight year. So that is what they will that's what they'll be doing. All right, we're going to hit a timeout. And when we come back, we will get Brian Mull on the horn. We'll talk a little college basketball with him. NC State advances, they'll play tonight. UNC knows their opponent. And Wake Forest with a big victory today. What does that do for their tournament chances? What will the American get in? Brian Mull on that and more when we return here on the Patrick Johnson Show.
Adoption can be a... Have you noticed? He's in his own little happy hour. We're back to the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
This is the happy hour program.
Here's the P-Man.
We're back on the Patrick Johnson Show, and joining us right now is our friend Brian Mull. He covers college basketball. He covers golf. Brian Mull, writer at large, at BG Mull is where you could follow him on X as we roll on here on the Patrick Johnson Show today. We've got games, we've got games, we've got games, Brian. And let's start with maybe the, I don't want to say inconsequential, but, you know, I think it was interesting last night that despite being down DJ Horn, I thought NC State made some plays at the end, right? Made some plays at the end, and they won a game in the ACC tournament. a high-scoring game against a pretty lousy Louisville outfit. By the way, who would be the ideal coach at Louisville, Brian, in your mind, now that they've gotten rid of Kenny Payne and ended that heinous experiment?
Boy, that's a good question. I think you've got to just try to pluck a high-major coach, a power conference established. You got to just open up the Papa John's piggy bank and just try to go get a sitting coach. I don't think you can take any more chances. Louisville's been through just two disastrous situations since Rick Pitino left and have just become irrelevant. Dusty May at FAU is an option. I think he might end up at Ohio State.
Yeah, that's the word. That's the word.
It's a good question. I don't have a great answer. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's fine. It's a discussion point more than anything. So NC State tonight needs to be someone proven.
It needs to be someone who's proven that they can do it at the highest level.
Gotcha. NC State and the Cuse tonight. Can the Wolfpen keep the dream going?
They need Horn to be a bit. That would help. I mean, I thought, Red Autry did a pretty good job there at Syracuse. They looked kind of dead in January and certainly turned their season with the home win over North Carolina and had some just excellent results coming down the stretch of the season and played themselves into the conversation, if you will. So, it comes down to the defensive end for the Wolfpack. Can they defend? They didn't defend very well last night. Can they defend for 40 minutes? That's what it takes this time of the year. We know they'll get some baskets. And they need Horn to be full strength.
Three games tonight as far as championships go. St. Mary's was among those last night, knocking off Gonzaga, who punched the AQ ticket. As did Charleston in overtime against Stony Brook in what was a really entertaining game. Got a game going on right now. How do you see that in the Southland ultimately winding up?
Willie the Kid rides again. After 1 year in exile, he has landed at McNeese and performed one of the greatest turnarounds in the history of college basketball, taking a program that has been a perennial bottom feeder in the Southland, 20-game loser, 300s in KenPom, and tonight will be their 30th win. It's remarkable. They won at VCU. You know, they're a team that nobody wants to see. They have high major talent, and Will Wade, whatever you may think of him, and he's made some poor choices, is a terrific basketball coach, and that is not going to be a pleasant opening round game for some four or five seed.
Yeah, we got Pilk. What are the other two games going on right tonight? Championship games. Pilk knows all this stuff. Lehigh and Colgate. That's the Patriot, isn't it? So who do you like there at 7?
You don't just go into Colgate and beat the Red Raiders. They've been running that league. What is it, 4 in a row, Pilk?
Yeah, 4 in a row.
Going for 5. Matt Engel's the name to watch here in the upcoming coaching carousel festivities. He's certainly on the radar of some bigger programs. So Colgate's going to win that one. Home court advantage, and it's a great bonus for winning your regular season, and they've earned it again.
And they had to go all the way to Idaho to play Montana State in Montana. And let me tell you something. In that Big Sky battle, there is no love lost between Montana State and Montana.
No, they have some epic battles on the old football field during the FCS. Two of the top 10 perennial programs in that division of football, and now carrying over to the basketball court, and it'll be a war. Maybe slightly Montana, would think maybe they have a slight edge there, but that should be a great game for the late night crowd.
All right, there you go. For those of you that are going to be on the late night wagon, as things have been going on since before noon today and will go on till past midnight. Brian, of anybody right now that has punched the AQ ticket, I mean, you've given some thoughts on McNee. Who is the team, right, of those right now, or that is the favorite? Who is a team that if you're one of the big boys, you don't want to see on that seed line?
Samford, Buckyball, Southern Conference champion. Another great story. Bucky McMillan averaged 28 wins a game at Mountain Brook High School. He's been in Birmingham his whole life. He played basketball at Birmingham Southern. He then was one of the youngest high school coaches in the state, turned Mountain Brook High School into a national powerhouse, averaging 28 wins, producing Division I players. Then he moved 10 minutes over to Samford University 4 years ago, a program that was at the bottom of the Southern Conference, had no real tradition in Division I, and a lot of people questioned the hire. They won 6 games his first season during the pandemic year in an empty arena there in Asheville. They lost in the first round of the Southern Conference tournament. They were the 10 seed, lost in the first round by 30. He sat there on the podium and said, "These freshmen seated beside me will clip the nets before they leave." They blew through the Southern Conference and then clipped the nets Monday night in Asheville. And the reason I like them so much is they have what you want for a mid-major in the tournament. They play a unique style. They press. They're up-tempo. They have 7 different players who have made at least 25 three-pointers this year. And they have a big man, Akor, first team all-league, 6'9", who is a matchup nightmare. He would start for half the teams in the ACC, if not more. He can make threes. He can get to the rim and gets to the free throw line. And, you know, they have all the ingredients. Now they've got to get the right draw and they've got to play well, but that they will be dangerous with their ability to score. They averaged 86 points a game, and they're going to try to turn you over, just harass, you know, they're going to play that stuff. They play whoever they play. So yeah, keep an eye on the Samford Bulldogs, Bucky McMillan, Bucky Ball. It's a sight to behold.
We're talking to college basketball writer Brian Mull at BG Mull on X. Hey, I want to ask you this. Get your opinion on this. We were told yesterday by Brian Murphy that BetMGM is saying 49% of the votes or of the bets placed for the national championship have been placed on UNC. Is this a fool in their money or soon parted? Or yes, on that site in North Carolina, 49% of the bets that have been placed say UNC is going all the way. And I mean, it's an 18-1. It's a fun little, you know, $10, $100 reach, you know, especially with all the bonus stuff that's out there. I understand it. If you were so inclined to be the betting favorite on the dance, who would you place your money on right now? Where would you spread some of your chips?
There are worse bets that you could make than North Carolina at 18-1. I mean, they certainly check a lot of the boxes. Surprisingly, Kentucky's like a little shorter at 16-ish. I might be so inclined to look in the direction of Baylor if you're looking for some value in the 40 to 50 range. I don't hate Arizona at 14. I have a good feeling about them, even though they've been disappointing in the tournament of late. But, boy, this UConn team, I mean, I'm not recommending anybody at 450, you know, plus 450, basically 4.5 to 1. I'm not recommending that, you know, anyone bet the favorite, but they just look like a juggernaut again. They've battled some injuries through the season, and regardless of what happens in the Big East tournament, I just think, you know, UConn to make the Final Four seems like a pretty safe safe play, in my opinion. One more long shot that I like to maybe not to win it all, but to make the Final Four before I see the bracket is Florida. The Gators, you know, they got a lot of nice pieces. They've got some great size. Ty Golden's a rising star in coaching. And I just think that's a team that, that even once they get out of the SEC grind, if they get any kind of decent draw at all, I think that's a team that could really cause some problems.
All right, as we sit here before everything gets selected on Sunday, at the end of the day, the ACC gets how many in and who?
Well, obviously Duke and North Carolina are in. Clemson's going to be in. I have a good feeling Wake Forest is going to figure out that they can win a basketball game away from Lawrence Joel Coliseum. But then, you know, that's allowed because they have certainly not understood that to this point in the season. And I just think that their back is firmly against the wall. They're in, they're out, depending on who you believe. But I think they are going to be the hungriest team, and they're certainly the third most talented team in that conference. And I think Wake Forest plays their way in. And those are the ones I feel good about. You know, Virginia.
Are we?
Everybody loves Virginia, but they don't look like a tournament team to me.
How about the American? At the end of the day, how many are in?
Two.
All right. South Florida and Florida Atlantic?
Probably.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. All right. East Carolina beats Tulsa tomorrow if?
They control the pace and make some shots. You know, I just think the offense just totally dismal during this five-game losing streak. Just inability to consistently put the ball in the basket and put so much pressure on your defense. You're not going to pitch a shutout. Tulsa wants to get up and down a little bit. And has, you know, probably been the better team over the last few weeks. It's a pick 'em, 1-point type game, so it's a coin flip. And whoever can impose their will, Mike Schwartz wants the game ugly. But you still, you know, in these tournament settings and not a lot of juice in the building always, and you know, you just got to be able to execute and score. I mean, we see teams in these early round games go on 6-, 7-, 8-minute droughts. And ECU's been prone to such, so they've got to avoid that, or it's going to be a short trip.
Hey, Brian, can you hang through a timeout here?
I would love to.
All right, because I want to ask you some golf questions. We're talking golf with Brian Mull and maybe a college basketball nugget or two when we come back on the Patrick Johnson Show. So stay with us.
Philip Pilkington here with your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. Tonight, the women's basketball team will be going for their second straight AAC tournament title. After last night's win over UTSA, Coach McNeil talked about how proud she is of her team.
I can't express right now how proud I am of this team, how proud and honored I am to be the head women's basketball coach in East Carolina.
They will play Rice tonight in the conference championship game at 7 o'clock on ESPNU. Yesterday, the baseball team won 8-7 over UNCW to claim their fourth straight victory. They will be back home this weekend when they play a three-game series against Columbia. The first one will be at 6 o'clock on Friday with a 5:45 airtime. All three games this weekend will be right here on 94.3 The Game. The Titans just got a new weapon for whoever their quarterback of the future is, whether it being Will Levis or Ryan Tannehill. They have signed Calvin Ridley to a four-year contract worth $92 million. Looking at the American Athletic Conference men's tournament, which is currently going on right now, earlier today, Wichita State knocked off Rice 88-81, and they've got a nail-biter going on right now in Game 2 as Temple has a three-point lead 64-61 over UTSA with just 24 seconds to play. Looking at the ACC earlier today, Florida State won the first game of the afternoon with a convincing 86-76 win over Virginia Tech as they pulled away late in what had been a back-and-forth game for most of the contest. And then Wake led wire-to-wire over Notre Dame, defeating them 72-59. That'll do it for your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. On the other side of this timeout, we will hear more from Brian Mull as the Players' Championship is on the horizon. It will begin tomorrow morning, and he will tell us all about it.
We have you covered with all the ECU news and beyond that you need for the drive home. The Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Brian Mull writes about golf various places, and this is the 50th edition of the Players' Championship going on this weekend. There are power rankings, and then there are Brian Mull power rankings heading into this, as it is now you're able to place a little action in the state of North Carolina if you wanted to. This would seem like a good event if you want to wet your whistle on a little golf betting, have a little fun with it, familiarize yourself with what goes on in that sport if you're so inclined, because it's obviously the fifth major and it's a tremendous field. So what do you got, Brian? What do you think?
Yeah, golf's a great sport. It's fun, obviously, responsibly, but with the outright and even the placement, top 10, top 20 markets, you know, you can get some plus wagers where you can make a very small investment with possibly a nice return. When I look at the, you know, the Players is obviously everyone knows the course there with the diabolical finish, centerpiece being the Island Green 17th. It's a tournament that the elements can certainly affect, although the weather forecast looks pretty good down there this week. Nothing crazy, no cold fronts and extreme wind days coming in, just some nice sunny days in the low 80s with a little wind in the afternoon. The key to this tournament is keeping your ball dry. There's plenty of opportunities to drown it, and if you can avoid the big numbers, there are ample birdie opportunities. When I look at this odds board, I cannot understand the continued sustained disrespect for our guy, Quail Hollow Wells Fargo champion Wyndham Clark. I mean, all Wyndham Clark has done in the last year is win two elevated events and the U.S. Open. Yet, he's still at the board I'm looking at, he is priced below your guy, Tommy Fleetwood. So Tommy Fleetwood's odds are short. Tommy Fleetwood, who has never won in the United States of America's odds are shorter than Wyndham Clark's. Now, this is not a great course fit for Wyndham Clark necessarily because power is one of his advantages, and this course is more about placement. However, he is a big game hunter, a la Brooks Koepka, in that mold where he is not going to spit the bit in these events. He likes the events. He's been working with a mental coach for the last year. He was always a guy who had the tools, and it's certain, you know, that this is paying dividends. So he's around 55, 60 to one. And then similarly is a good value in the placement markets. I would not be averse to that whatsoever. Another guy that I like even farther down is Nick Taylor, who had one of the gutsiest performances of the year at the Waste Management in Scottsdale earlier this year. And it is a really nice course fit for him. And he's as high as 125 to one. He's a guy that I would keep an eye on. And then getting a little bit closer to the top, Max Homa. Homa is quietly putting together a solid season. If you look at his ball striking numbers, they're phenomenal. He's coming off a top 10, top 15 finish last week. He has gotten more comfortable on Bermuda greens through his career being a California guy. And of among the favorites, I think there's some value there. Again, he's unafraid. He's a guy you can trust coming down the stretch. I mean, the books still love Xander and Cantley and Morikawa, but I'm losing faith in all of them by the day. I mean, they've had an opportunity, and I don't think Hovland is his short game has regressed, which is disappointing to see. So I don't really trust him either. Then again, the favorite, Scottie Scheffler, if he has found something on the putting green, as it looked like he did last Sunday when he led the field in putting in a runaway victory down right there at Arnie's place, everybody's playing for second.
If he has figured out his putting, it's Katie bar the door.
It's game over. We're looking at a 6 or 7 win type season, a major or two, a Tiger Woods esque Vijay Singh 2004 type season. I mean, the ball striking sustained now over about 22 months is on that level. This course doesn't reward maybe all of his strengths, the long iron play, as much, but he did have a walk-away victory here last year.
All right. I want to just ask you about one of my faves, Will Zalatoris. I think what he's done, given the injury, has been remarkable. I mean, he's been in contention. He's right there, you know, in the mix last weekend. So, I mean, what he's doing, and I got to think, if you're looking at value, he might be a guy that might be a little value, depending on what you want to lay the odds for him to do this weekend are.
Yeah, I have a little interest in Will Z this week myself. I, when you talk about ball striking, Scheffler's obviously the gold standard. Zalatoris is not far behind. And this switch to the longer putter, the broom, if you will, has improved his stats on the greens dramatically. He's a guy that's from Texas, played college golf at Wake Forest, so has ample experience on Bermuda grass. The more difficult it is, the better for him. Generally, you know, he's throughout his career, whether it's majors or just when scoring is difficult, he has risen to the top. He's going to win soon. I love him at Augusta. I love him at Pinehurst for the U.S. Open. He has proven to me his short game is very underrated. And again, he's unafraid. I know he's only won once, but Zalatoris is he looks like a top five, top eight type player in the world to me right now.
Brian Mull, there he is. Follow him on X for at BG Mull. You could follow him really for everything golf. You could follow him for everything college hoops. Great follow this time of year. Brian, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Patrick. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the hoops and the golf.
Absolutely. Brian Mull, there he goes, ladies and gentlemen, joining us here. Pilk, we got Pirate basketball tonight. It'll be on ESPNU. Did you get a chance to watch any of last night's game, or were you occupied? Dom actually ran the baseball last night, didn't he?
Yeah, Dom ran baseball. I had dinner plans that I
think we're going to lose.
Dom Kosolke, there he is, Pilk talking over it. You had dinner plans?
Yeah.
Was this with the fellas or maybe a member of the opposite sex?
I'm going to plead the fifth.
Oh, you had a date. Pilk had a date.
So I did not watch women's basketball. I will watch it tonight.
Is this a first date or was this a repeat
first occasion? That's why I'm pleading the fifth, because don't want to tell her business. It went good.
All right.
We still talked after, so.
Oh, there you go. Now, did you slide into her DMs?
No, I have her number. No, I'm not a Pirate fan yelling at a pitcher, okay? Come on, Patrick. She's not a pitcher for the baseball team.
That's classic, brother. That's really good. Hey, where's William? Can William get to a microphone?
Yeah, do you want me to slide him? Do you want me to just move him in here?
Well, no, I wanted to get William in on this little chat here about Pilk's first date.
Okay, here's I'm just going to hand him these headphones because we're not set up in there.
Pilk, William, were you aware of that? Pilk had his first date last night with the lady?
What's that, Patrick?
Were you aware that Pilk had a first date last night with a lady?
I was not.
Okay. Any advice for him? Because you've got a girlfriend, don't you? Or am I?
I do. I do. I don't believe I'm in the position to give advice, though.
Well, I mean, you went on a first date, and obviously it was successful, right?
It was successful. I've been on a handful.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying here, though, is maybe you could give him a little second date advice. So when he takes this young lady out for a second time, you follow me?
I would just recommend that he uses his manners.
Well stated, intern William. Well stated. All right, let me, Pilk, let me ask you, because you know, we're going to put the business out in the streets here.
Well, if we're putting business out in the streets, William's being humble. He met his girlfriend's parents over spring break for the first time, and they live in Michigan. Homeboy went all the way up to Michigan.
Wait a minute.
So he does need to be given advice.
Yeah, no, he does. Wow. Wait a minute.
Everyone,
a
little breaking news for you.
Man. Really? How about that? All right, let me ask William how that went. I'm intrigued by this.
It went very good, Patrick. Flew into the Detroit airport. It's a very scary place, very hostile, actually.
Detroit's a tough city. Is she from Detroit?
No, she's from Ann Arbor. Probably another hostile environment.
All right. Is she an education major by chance?
Business management.
Business management, okay. Because there was a run of girls back when I was a younger guy, out of college, that I think there were actually more people from Michigan that were coming to North Carolina to teach because they couldn't find teaching jobs in Michigan. So you had a run of women that were teachers in North Carolina from Michigan.
ECU is a good teacher's college.
Oh, there you go. ECTC back in the day. Okay, let me. All right, Pilk, I gotta know, where'd you go? Where was the first date last night?
Texas Roadhouse.
Okay. Well, still a little chain steakhouse. Of course, Texas is kind of that local feel.
Yeah.
But I hear you, dog. I hear you.
Appreciate it.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. So I didn't mean to put my... Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't mean to
dress up?
I mean, I wore my... I wore my work golf shirt that I showed up in jeans and a golf shirt how I dress for work every day.
You wore your work golf shirt to the thing.
Yeah.
To the first day.
Yeah. I had to leave here right after.
But you didn't hang one up in the car and change? You wore a work golf shirt?
Hey, I got to be myself. You can't lie. Look.
Well, no, I'm not saying lie, dude, but you've been griming. You've been in that grimy shirt all day.
You know? Is what it is. Hey. She still talked to me on the phone last. She still, it was her idea to talk on the phone after last night. Also, isn't this supposed to be a sports show? The point is here, while Patrick's going off on this thing and boring all of our
I think people would enjoy to know that our guy Pilk has got him a little date last night. I think people want to know that.
Well, they know, and
they do know now.
Yeah.
That's very true. They do know now. So when's the second date?
Oh, she works the next three nights, so she's a nurse.
Okay. Oh, she's a nurse. Well, you talk about burying the lead. Good for you, buddy.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. All right.
Have you known this lady a while, or you just recently met her? I won't get into how you met her.
Just recently met her.
Okay. You weren't swiping, were you? Now, you don't have to answer that. Don't answer that. I don't want to. You don't have to answer that. All right. Well, look, I'm proud of my guys.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
William went to meet his girlfriend's parents. Wait, that seems so young to go fly up there and meet him. Wow. My guys. I'm proud of
them. People are texting. The anonymous text line is saying that they are glad that you brought up this, and this is how the conversation has gone.
Yeah, no, people are excited about this sort of thing. People want to know what's going on. What's William smart-alecking about over there?
He's like, I don't know. I got these kind of headphones. I can't really hear. He said something about that's how friends are or something. I don't know. Yeah. That's
I just got like a double thumbs up from somebody because of this Pilk. So, I mean, I think that's a great thing. I think that's a positive thing. I mean, my phone's blowing up right now. You know that?
Yeah. Anonymous text line maybe likes our... Maybe we need to have like a TMZ segment.
Anonymous text
line. Once a week. And it needs to be instead of about celebrity gossip, just about the three of us.
Local celebrity gossip. Oh, you don't want my gossip.
Okay, well, we'll keep it to me and William, and we'll throw Joe and Dom's gossip out there too. And Scooter. We like to throw Scooter's gossip out there. William said he'd love that. No.
Does Joe have any gossip?
Joe doesn't have gossip. Joe has, I think everyone in Joe's life has two birthdays. Every time I ask him to do something, you know how many times he's like, I can't work this weekend. It's my cousin's hamster's brother's birthday. And like this week, I asked him to do something tonight. And he was like, well, it's my girlfriend's mom's birthday. I'm like, did girlfriend's mom just have a birthday like last month?
Yeah. Crazy. All right, let's get a break. We'll come back, get you set for ECU women's basketball tonight. As East Carolina will play for back-to-back conference championships, and they'll do so against the Rice Owls, a team that beat them twice during the regular season.
And now, the stunning conclusion of the show. It's the P-Man here on 94.3 The Game.
All right. We've got women's basketball tonight at 7 o'clock from the Dickies Arena. The Pirates will be playing the Rice Owls, and Rice swept both the regular season meetings with ECU, so that'll be happening. Looking forward to that, and good luck to Coach Kim and the Pirates as they go for back-to-back championships in the American Athletic Conference. That would be a huge achievement to get that. Let's see what happens tomorrow, or tonight, rather, and again, 7 o'clock on ESPNU from the conference championship. Coming up tomorrow, a noon airtime with a 12:30 tip. Do I have that right, Pilk, for the men's game tomorrow?
Correct.
Okay, 12 noon pre, 12:30 tip, ECU Tulsa. Listen to that on 107.9 WNCT and here on 94.3 The Game, and then we'll have reaction from both games on the Patrick Johnson Show. Mike Mullis will join us tomorrow. That's all coming up, so it'll be a packed and stacked edition. It often is on the PJ Show. All right, have a great rest of your evening. Good luck to Coach Kim and the Pirate women's team tonight as they go for another championship in the AAC. Have a great evening, everybody, and we'll talk to you in the morning on Talk of the Town. Back here tomorrow, 5 o'clock after Pirate basketball on the Patrick Johnson Show.